senses to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. What do we do?
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, and areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, but we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going
to
be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today, of course, is John Ramos, and we want to come right to you today, from our broadcast and our program to let you know that our hearts go out to Kathmandu, India, with the earthquake that was like 7.8 on the Richter scale, with at this time right now 2,500 deaths, I think over 1 million people affected.
Wow.
I believe Pat Robinson stated on the CBN 700 news or whatever that it's equivalent to something like 30 atomic bombs.
Wow.
Because it's right where two tectonic plates actually meet up together. And but we want to give you a right report of what's happening and who's going to be able to provide aid. It is Israel. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear. John, can you tell us what's taking place and how Israel is sending aid to Kathmandu?
Yes. CBN's reporting that Israel sends a large-scale mission to Nepal. A 260-member team from Israel arrived in Nepal Tuesday to aid in search and rescue operations and to set up a multi-facility field hospital that can treat at least 200 patients daily. Over the weekend, the death toll following the 7.8 magnitude earthquake that struck Saturday rose to 2,500. An advanced multi-department medical facility equipped with approximately 95 tons of humanitarian and medical supplies from Israel and a medical staff of 122 doctors, nurses, and paramedics will be rapidly established in the city of Kathmandu to provide medical care for disaster casualties. The Israeli Defense Force spokesperson's unit said in a statement, the facility will include a pediatric, internal medicine, neonatal, radiology departments, as well as maternity ward and emergency operating rooms. The Israeli Defense Force National Search and Rescue Unit dispatched a team of senior military physicians, engineers, mechanical engineering equipment operators, and rescue dog handlers. Head of the mission to Nepal, Colonel Yoram Loretto, commander of the Search and Rescue Corps, said the Israeli mission will be making two main efforts: conduct search and rescue, conduct search and rescue operations to free anyone trapped under the rubble, and set up a field hospital to be operational within 12 hours. You are being sent on a mission, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told Colonel Laredo. This is the true face of Israel, a country that offers aid over any distance at such moments. Good luck. We are counting on you.
It's so amazing, you know, how, you know, Israel is just responding. Yes. The goodness, you know, as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is letting everybody know, this is Israel. This is what we do.
Wow.
We'll go to the furthest places to be able to render help and aid. And they're helping so many people. And our hearts go out to those, you know. And Samaritan's Purse, if you haven't yet, you can see. As a matter of fact, you saw all the way that whole article was going on right there in the lower part of your screen, how that is the Israeli Defense Force, Israel preparing to go, you know, provide that aid right there. And you might want to give them a shout out. I don't know if you know this, but you can actually Facebook Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and let them know how much you appreciate, you know, what they're doing and how they're rendering help. And Samaritan Purse, you're looking right now on the lower part of your screen, you know, with Franklin Graham with Samaritan's Purse. And they're right on the scene. I mean, they are right there. And they specifically have a gift, you know, of doing what's needed while not compromising the gospel.
Yes.
You know, they do the surgical strike of help and aid and building and all those type
resources,
of things.
Resources, all those things.
All those things. And it's if you have not yet read Rebel Without a Cause, you can see it right here on your screen. You got to get it. It's a testimony of Franklin Graham and how Samaritan Purse came about, but also how he came about.
Hmm.
Pretty powerful thing. And today, you know, he is reaching the world in his time. You know, you think about this. You know, Jesus said very specifically, you know, when you see Israel surrounded by armies, when you see earthquakes, when you see nation rise against nation, when you see, you know, persecution taking place against Christians and Jews, you know, in the earth, he says that the time of desolation is close. And people say, well, it's not, you know, really. I mean, look.
We're pretty close right now.
I've never seen the rapidness of things progressing. And it kind of helps when you have people that are in authority kind of helping that take place.
Or nudging that, maybe.
Or nudge. Isn't there a book called Nudge?
I think so.
There's a book called Nudge. And so, you know, with that, we go right to what took place and is taking place in Baltimore, Maryland.
Yes.
With the riots and all that was taking place. And when I heard the city council man, can't think of his name right now, but the mayor was speaking and he spoke after her. And he said, this is just like 1968 when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated and Baltimore was on fire.
Wow.
During that time. And instantly what it brought back to me was the words of Chuck Pierce, the prophetic words that were given out of Zion Ministries out of Corinth, Texas, that when the president, and we've had this on VFN TV, you can find it again. We'll make it available to you. But the president went to Israel, or specifically sent this word to Israel, that you need to go back to your 1967 border lines, which are undefensible borders. We've shown that over and over again. But this was the prophetic word that was given by Chuck Pierce at that time. He said, you know, because you told Israel they had to go back to the 60s, 67, then America's going to go back to the same time frame, the 60s. And guess what? Right there in the very heart, you know, where right after Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, the horrific assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. by evil, you know, that was in society at the time, and kind of there's some anyway. Yeah. So
we have that clip too, by the way, 509, president saying about the 1967 borders.
Take a look at this, because this just kind of comes together. Let's watch this. Watch 509 right here.
United States believes that negotiations should result in two states with permanent Palestinian borders with Israel, Jordan, and Egypt, and permanent Israeli borders with Palestine. We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps.
So I think, you know, he's saying he believes.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
You know, he said that he believes that it should go back to the 67 lines. Mm-hmm. And so the word was immediately, you know, came prophetically. And God doesn't do anything unless he reveals it prophetically first to his prophets. As it says in Amos, And that's why it's important. VFN-TV is important. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know about the news you know.
Greg, why that's important is because 1967 borderlines would mean for Israel that they're indefensible. They can't protect themselves from any kind of attacks. And we'll make sure that's related for you. But the Israeli Defense Force, I believe, put an excellent video together that kind of shares pretty plainly what happens if Israel.
Well, after the break, I hope we get a chance to be able to show that the video. If you have to tell the control room, I'd like to be able to show that the indefensible borders. It was put together by,
I believe, the Israeli Defense Force.
Yes. And so he said that, you know, our president is telling another country you need to move into an indefensible place. On the same time today, we're helping the enemy of Israel and the enemy of Christians and the enemy of every non-Islamic Muslim person. Iran, helping them get nuclear weapons, helping them get nuclear powers. As we speak, that's taking place. And at the same time, here we are. According to the city council member, last night on the news conference, live news conference, you know, after the mayor spoke, and we're going to talk about what she talked about, but and give it the mayor's name one more.
Her name is Stephanie Rawls Blake.
And so, but the city councilman says, this is just like 1968, talking about his city, after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Well, that is the fulfillment of that prophetic word. And by the way, the 60s were horrific in America in regards to we lost a president. You know, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas. You know, we lost Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who I believe was an apostle that was murdered, you know, in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And then we lost a couple months later, Robert Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy. And it was a free for all. It was an Alinsky, Saul Alinsky, orgy of everything that could happen in a Saul Alinsky methodologies. We talk about the rules for radicals and, you know, children of the light versus children of the day. This is when, you know, Hillary Clinton was getting her footing around that time, and Saul Alinsky was mentoring her and Barack Obama during that time. He wasn't president then. And this is when, abortion was beginning to be explored. The feminist movement, Gloria Steinem was, pushing all those different things. And here we are in the fruit of that today. But he stood up and he said, you know, that.
This happened in the same city. Riots happened in the same city, in the very same streets almost 40 years ago.
Yes, which is a generation. And so here we are now. It's happening. And I heard over and over again, you know, if you just listen, it says that we speak from the overflow of our hearts. Mm. And everybody likes to focus on this one thing. Versus it could be an accumulation of things. But one thing that you're hearing from the grown folks who are great citizens and just upset about what's going on in Baltimore citizens, they're going, you have to understand, this is just the straw that broke the camel's back. This is just the straw that broke the camel's back. It's very interesting that this is the straw that broke Mr. Gray's back. Mm. Because the particular young black male that was arrested, that I don't know the details about it, and I'm not saying it was right or wrong, I don't know all that, but I just know that when he was in custody, a young man's back was broken. Mm. And it's almost like, you know, that we have to deal with the injustices.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of them. Everything's going to be surfacing, I think, during this time, in the next 6 months or so of this year. And when it comes to the surface, we got to deal with it. We got to say, you know, God, you know, we're sorry for it, you know, whatever it is, but, you know, take it to the cross, because the peace will only come at the cross of Christ. More, we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
When can and can't you share the gospel while on the job? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm calling on behalf of a friend of mine. He does security. The first job, they put him in the hospital, and he was working at ICU. And some of the families, you know, he would talk to him, you know, but he was not trying to force his opinions on his coworkers or anything, but they had put that out, so they transferred him to another place. So what are his rights? You know, he's afraid to read his Bible, even when he goes for his lunch break.
Yeah, let me tell you this. First of all, when it comes to reading the Bible at work or during lunch break, he has the right to do that. With regard to religious expression in the workplace, it's not off limits either. Now, what you can't do is cause disruption to the workplace. That's kind of the key standard. But as far as having a Bible study at work and these kind of things during break time, you're allowed to have that. There's nothing in the law that prohibits your faith being part of who you are at the workplace. It sounds like it's a drastic overreaction.
Learn more about your rights in the workplace at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, we're talking about, you know, all these things that are taking place right now about how, you know, prophetically, when the president said, we just heard earlier part of the program, that Israel needs to go back to 1967. Just to tell Israel something like that. Right. And, which is undefensible borders, but the word, prophetic word given by Chuck Pierce was, then America now is going to go back to the 60s, to the 1968, 1967. Then the mayor, city council of Baltimore last night, in the midst of all the riots, came on live television and said, this is exactly like 1968, during the time of Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination, where their city was on fire, and he was talking about that and immediately brought that word back up. But so going back to the 19th, it's all connected. And so it matters what we do with Israel. I mean, look what's taking place today, because this, even though it wasn't until it was, you got to hear that segment on VFN TV. It wasn't until it was, because you have this tendency when things are happening, we just think it's always been like that. But this is not the America that it used to be. I mean, this is not normal, and it's not the new normal unless if we don't repent, it's going to be the new normal. But I want you to see, when the president said go back to the 1967 lines, watch how Israel's saying very specifically in this Israeli Defense Force video explaining the 1967 lines, and that if they don't have these lines, then they'll be pushed in the sea. They'll be destroyed. They'll have no defense. It's undefensible borders. And what are we saying right now in Baltimore and different cities? We're going, like, we need to defend ourselves. If we stand with God, if we remember that we are a one nation under God, and we know that we stand with Israel, then we will be defended by God and not by man. Take a look at what IDF said about these borders that the president said they needed to go back to.
Every state has the right of self-defense and to secure borders to protect itself from hostile invasions and terror. Israel is a small state surrounded by Arab countries 650 times its size, some of which are large bases of global terror. Only 44 miles separate between the Jordan Valley and the Mediterranean Sea. After the Six-Day War in 1967, when Israel was attacked by four armies on three fronts, United Nations Security Council Resolution 242 stated that Israel was entitled to new defensible borders to replace the previous fragile lines from which it was attacked. What are Israel's defensible borders? What are its essential security needs? The Jordan Rift Valley, Israel's eastern frontier, forms a natural barrier between Israel and the countries of Jordan, Iraq, and Iran. The Jordan Valley rises from an area that is 1,200 feet below sea level to a hilly ridge of up to 3,000 feet, creating a steep 4,200-foot virtual wall opposite any force attacking from the east. The growing threat of global jihad activity near Israel's borders requires it to prevent infiltrations of terrorists and weapons. When Israel left the Philadelphia corridor in Gaza, it became a highway for the infiltration of terrorists and the flow of hundreds of tons of ammunition and weaponry from all over the Arab world, aimed at Israeli civilians. The Jordan Valley is the equivalent of Gaza's Philadelphia corridor in the West Bank. To defend itself, Israel must retain control over the Jordan Valley. This is Israel's mountain ridge, rising up to 3,000 feet. It dominates Israel's major coastal cities, where more than 70% of its population, 80% of its industry, and all of its airfields and seaports are located. Missiles launched from the Judean hills pose an immediate threat to Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Israel's only international airport, Ben Gurion, would be in the range of even primitive rockets, while all planes taking off and landing would be threatened by shoulder-launched anti-aircraft missiles. more advanced weaponry would be able to hit virtually any point in Israel. If Israel were forced back to the 1949 armistice lines, the Green Line, the country's width would be reduced to a narrow 9-mile waistline that would be impossible to defend. That's why any future arrangement must include Israeli control over key areas of the mountain ridge and a demilitarized Palestinian state. Israel's narrow borders means a combat aircraft can cross the entire country in under 4 minutes. In less than 2 minutes, an enemy plane could penetrate the country's airspace via the Jordan Valley and reach Jerusalem. In order to thwart an aerial attack on Jerusalem, a hostile plane must be shot down at least 10 miles east of the capital to prevent it from crashing into major population centers. Therefore, Israel must be able to identify hostile planes before they cross the Jordan River line and intercept them shortly after. To defend itself, Israel must control the airspace over the West Bank. Israel's transportation arteries, and in particular the Trans-Israel Highway, enable travel and connection between Israel's regions. They also assure the mobility of the Israel Defense Forces in case of attack. Protection of these vital arteries is essential in order to ensure that 1. Civilians aren't victims of terrorist gunfire. 2. Regions of the country cannot easily be cut off. 3. The mobility of Israel's defense forces is not hindered in the case of invasion. To defend itself, Israel must control its main arteries of transportation. There is enormous uncertainty about future trends in the Middle East. Iran is determined to become the supreme power as the U.S. withdraws from Iraq. No one can guarantee the future of many of the current regimes in the region. Today, more than ever, it is crucial to ensure defensible borders for Israel.
Coming back. Well, we're talking about this amazing reality of how things parallel. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do to Israel, if you bless Israel, you're blessed. If you curse Israel, you're cursed. And you think, well, they didn't really mean anything negative when they were talking about going back to the 1967 lines. Mm. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
And it's like they're actually assisting the enemy of Jews and Christians and non-radical Islam folks right now, mm-hmm, with nuclear weapons in Iran. I mean, think about that. And God specifically spoke to me about, you know, Secretary of State John Kerry before he was Secretary of State and what would happen to the God's people when he got into this particular place. And he's negotiating right now with the enemies of Israel. And the prime minister is like, calling out and saying, you know, this is, you know, even at Purim, right there in front of Congress. So he's calling out and he's saying, you know, that, you know, we have to do something. When you hear that on our intro, I think even now we're talking about it and you're hearing that. And it's like, it's happening though. And as a matter of fact, when we get back from this break in a moment, you're going to see, you know, on Sid Roth, right, where he is interviewing a particular man that has studied this, and it's like ever what America does to Israel, it comes back and happens to America. And just like what's happening in the 1967 lines when you heard what was going on, and now the city council is saying this is just like 1968. Mm. My concerns, if you look at the 60s and everything that happened, it's pretty tragic. And some things the Lord has shown us, we've seen the 60s, some fruit of the 60s that's horrific. And our prayer has been for the last 5-6 years is like, dear Lord, you know, keep that from happening. More we get back from the break.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering. The words were hopeless. I couldn't believe it. I said, why would you put that? Don't put that on your You know, and I can understand maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and saying, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you, good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
We want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our viewers. Don't forget, we're on the Gulf Coast every single day from Destin, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, all the way to the beautiful historical parts of Mississippi. Over 1.4 million footprint out. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we want to be able to be there with you each day, bring in some light to this interesting times. And we're getting some great feedback from you, and we so love to hear from you. Remember our Facebook, and you can communicate to us. We'd love to receive messages from you and letters, actually positive messages.
Yeah.
Anything negative, just send it to Pat. He can handle that kind of stuff.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Like we're saying, you know, ever how we treat Israel, you treat Israel. And by the way, no matter what your country does, you can bless Israel.
That's right.
But this specifically, we're seeing some things happen here that even the city council's identifying this is the same as the 60s. That was the word that was giving out. And I want you to be able to see this man with Sid Roth.
Yes, John McTiernan.
Take a look at this. You'll hear he thought it out well, he studied it well, and it will make good sense to you. Watch.
Since 1991, how many times have you seen that when the United States goes against Israel, there have been what the world calls natural catastrophes?
Sid, at a minimum 50, but probably closer to 70.
Now, many people feel that when there are things like earthquakes and hurricanes and the stock market goes down, and that's the type of things we're talking about, many people think, John, that this is just the natural decay of planet Earth in every arena. How would you respond to that?
Well, Sid, there is truth to that,
sure,
the natural decay, but it's the timing of it, Sid, and the magnitude of the hurricanes, for example, like Hurricane Andrew, Hurricane Katrina, and other hurricanes falling precisely on these events. Precisely, Sid.
Why is it, though? What I'm pondering and what I'd like John to explain is, why is it that there are these warning judgments from God within 24 hours of the event when the United States tries to divide up the land of Israel? Why is that, John?
Well, Sid, in the Bible, God has made promises from starting with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants, which would be the Jewish people today, about the land. And there are blessings and cursings how people react to the Jewish people on the land. So part of the cursing is if you try and divide the land, which unfortunately the United States is really the leading nation in the world pressuring Israel to do this since 1991.
Give me some examples of what the United States did and what happened? Just a couple.
Well, Sid, we'll start at the very beginning, at the Madrid peace process, which is really a code word for the dividing of Israel. That the date was October 30th, 1991. We'll say President Bush Sr., and not the current president, but president, his father, President Bush Sr. He initiated this after the Gulf War, thinking that he, with the power of the United States, you could have this comprehensive peace in the Middle East, and part of it would be dividing the land, including Jerusalem. And when the president was delivering this speech in Madrid, Spain, initiating the Madrid peace process, on that very day, Sid, in fact, I'll almost go as far as to say the hour, the perfect storm, and if you can think back to 1991, the perfect storm.
There was a movie.
There was a best-selling book. The perfect storm had generated, it was the most powerful storm ever recorded in history in the North Atlantic. It generated 30-foot waves that came against the president's home in Kennebunkport, Maine. He has a home on the coast.
It really caused destruction in his home?
30-foot waves. Eyewitnesses said, Sid said, that the waves just engulfed the home. They came over it. So as the president of the United States was in this process of touching the land of Israel, his own home was being devastated. Sid.
Give me another example.
Well, in the next year, the Madrid peace process was transferred from Madrid, Spain, to Washington, D.C. The very first day that they met was August 23rd, Sid, 1992, on American soil. Previously, they had been in Madrid.
Right.
And you can see the headlines in the newspapers. I have all the headlines. Where Hurricane Andrew, at that time, it was the greatest natural disaster ever hit the United States. Since then, Hurricane Katrina has surpassed it. But Hurricane Andrew hit 4 hours before they met on American soil. So you'll see the newspapers with the headline, Hurricane Andrew and all the damage, and right there with it is the Madrid peace process. So you can't miss it, Sid.
Which is, the Madrid peace process is land for peace, but you mentioned Hurricane Katrina.
Yes.
Is there any correlation with that?
I'm going to stretch your mind a little, but to go back to Hurricane Katrina and the Jewish people being evacuated from Gaza.
The settlements.
It's called Gush Katif. And, of course, Gaza is part of the covenant land. It's that land that was given to Abraham, mm-hmm. Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. In fact, Sid, the prophet Obadiah,
yes,
which your viewers may have a hard time finding because it's the smallest
I know.
when I preach on Obadiah, I give people extra time to find it. But right there in Obadiah, it talks about the day of the Lord, which of course is the second coming of the Lord Jesus.
Which we're obviously approaching.
No, without a doubt. And it says specifically that the plain of the Philistines are going to belong to the Jewish people are going to be in control of the plain of the Philistines, which in modern terminology is Gaza. So the prophetic word says that this land is going to be inhabited, controlled by the Jewish people, yet through pressure of the United States with George Bush Jr. and with Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State, we've pressured the Jewish government, the Israeli government, to unilaterally abandon the land, and plus the president also promised American money to help with the resettlement of the Jewish people that are being taken off the land. So that was taking place exactly at the time that Hurricane Katrina hits the United States. So we're forcing Jewish people off the land in Israel, and Americans are being forced off the land in the United States.
Now listen, I would not call this a warning judgment. I would call this a judgment.
Yes. In my book, when I first started in the mid-1990s, I called it warning judgments or judgments unto repentance.
But we've passed that line
yes,
right
we
now.
Have, Sid.
This is what John has uncovered now. It's the best kept secret in American history. There is a key to American prosperity that is not mentioned in any of the history books. We'll reveal that, and you are going to be absolutely amazed when you hear the best kept secret. It won't be secret anymore.
So you think about that, and those events were minor compared to the things that has happened, you know, as they're pushing for this two-state solution, Hamas getting nuclear capabilities to Iran.
Hello.
I mean, you're looking at, you know, You know, I heard one man say, when God wants to discipline a nation, he turns its leaders, turns that nation against Israel, you know, and it's like, it's happening right now. And so it said, you know, you go back to the 60s, it's going to be like the 60s. The city councilman says last night, it's just like 1968 in Baltimore. Wow. And it's happening, and it's just going to escalate and get worse until we humble ourselves before the Lord. And so then I think about, you hear these students reportedly in Baltimore. You know, they started sending out little messages for their communication devices, for those that are listening, the telephones and all that. And they have these particular Twitter accounts, which is a social network type account. And they do this little thing called a hashtag, but it just means something, you know, that, that everybody can look. It just stands, it's a title of something, a post. And they said, you know, purge, hashtag purge. They'll meet at the mall or something of that nature. And they were showing up with a goal of purging. It's like, what is that? You know, what are they talking about? And somebody says, well, it's just like that movie. And I'm like, what movie? You know, so I was reading this morning on Wikipedia about this particular movie. It cost them $9 million to make. They grossed about over $100 million.
Wow.
It was, and I looked at the footage, the trailer of this movie, John, and it looked just like what we saw on the streets of Baltimore last night. I mean, obviously by the grace of God, it didn't go to the point of it, but I want you to see this trailer. It's graphic, has graphic violence to it. It's parental guidance suggested. So, you know, turn your head. It's about a 2 minute trailer, but I want you to see it because this is what the kids were communicating to each other. And then the adults follow. They weren't throwing little rocks. They were throwing stones at the police, stones at the police. And I want you to take a look at this. Take a look and we'll be right back.
In 5 seconds, you will experience anarchy.
You can't go out there. You know how dangerous it is. This won't bring him back. It won't make you feel any better. Don't do this.
It's late. You need to leave.
Traffic is building rapidly downtown as citizens rush to get home before commencement. If you're not purging, we advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war out there.
Come on!
This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge. At the siren, all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 hours. All emergency services will be suspended. Your government thanks you for your participation.
What is this?
Tonight allows a release. Nation reborn.
Just drive.
Stick to the plan.
Thank you.
Follow me.
Hey, we have to go now!
Go!
You shouldn't be out here.
As long as we keep moving, we're okay.
People like us, we don't survive tonight!
Oh my God, where are they taking us?
This is the last purge of the evening.
The bidding will start at 200,000.
This was released in 2014. This is what reports are. The kids were they were sending this message back and forth, and that's
tweeting
why they met.
It's tweeting out,
but I know a lot of our viewers want to know what tweeting is. But they were sending this message saying, let's go, let's do this purge. And that's what they were talking about.
Wow.
They were talking, this movie was released in 2014. And the thing is that this what it says in Wikipedia about that particular movie is that when they call for a purge, it actually is where all crime is legal, and all police, fire, and medical emergency services are shut down for 12 hours between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. And that's what you were seeing is anarchy. That's what that means. And that's what we're seeing on the streets of Baltimore last night. But the amazing thing that you're hearing is you heard that we heard the mayor, you know, of Baltimore,
Stephanie Blake,
that she was saying very specifically that we're going to make room for that element, you know. And the reports are that they knew that this message was going out already, and they had officers at that mall because the purge was, that the mindset. But so she, and then, you know, on top of that, as a matter, I want you to see this first. I want you to hear what the mayor's saying here, you know, as she's saying we're going to make room for this violent part of the protests. Mm. Let's go to it.
Well, we've had these types of conversations before, and I've made it very clear that I worked with the police and instructed them to do everything that they could to make sure that the protesters were able to exercise their right to free speech. It's a very delicate balancing act, because while we tried to make sure that they were protected from the cars and the other, you know, things that were going on, we also gave those who wished to destroy space to do that as well. And we worked very hard to keep that balance and to put ourselves in the best position to de-escalate, and that's what you saw.
So we gave those who wanted to destroy, we've gave them room.
Yeah, gave them room to destroy.
And so you're thinking, this is just a miscommunication. Matter of fact, she said she didn't say what she just said, you know, but she did. We heard it. And so you're thinking, why would you give them room, especially if they're sending messages to each other about purge, and purge means there's no laws or anything. So I'm sure she didn't mean that. I'm sure they're going to go ahead and just, you know, put a curfew out right away.
Right.
And they're not going to have it a lot of time, because purge means, according to Wikipedia, about that particular movie that was put out, it meant where all crime is legal and all police, fire, and medical emergency services are shut down for 12 hours.
Wow. Also in the movie, it was used as a method for artificial population control, as a people living in poverty and in these poor areas.
This is evil, and it's obviously evil. An evil movie.
This is according to Wikipedia.
But you know, you can actually understand that if this is the communication factor, that law is going to be very important for people who want anarchy.
Yeah.
That you're going to need to come in there right away. But when we get back, we're going to discuss the reality is, for some strange reason, she said, you know what we're going to do? The mayor said this. Tomorrow. Mm. Not in the midst of the fires, the chaos, the looting, the 15 wounded officers. One officer reportedly is not even able to move. They're not getting sticks. They're getting stones, huge stones thrown at these police officers. And she said, tomorrow we're going to have a curfew, but not today. Isn't it interesting that she gave them at least the 12 hours that they were given, according to Wikipedia, in that movie, to do whatever they want to do? We want to make room for those who want to cause destruction. Sounds like purge to me. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you serious?
I did, yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of, you know, your mother is so sweet.
Well, you know, that's something you actually do.
Well, actually,
what?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I found it in my cupboard the other night. I was like, where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then, I'm not going to buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like slap your mama. You know? Why do they call it slap your mama? So why not?
Well, there's a southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about
slap your mama. We're probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But, you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mama ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. You mean if something good happens, you slap your mother?
Well, no, food. Something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So, prophetically, I mean, what are we hearing? What, you know, what is all this? Mm. Well, it is what God said. I mean, he is, you know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. You know, it is what God says it is. And very specifically, you know, we've been sitting back and watching, you know, our leadership turn against Israel. You know, we've been openly allowing these things to happen. It's just like people are just scared to speak truth or something mm-hmm. of that nature. I think everybody's sleeping. Most of the people, not everybody, mm-hmm. but most people are just asleep. Many. We're seduced by all the wealth, like the rich young ruler. And that may change a little bit.
Yeah.
But the reason why is that, you know, the things that we're hearing is this is going to happen on a mass scale. A mass scale. We've been talking about it again and again. But, you know, Rick Joyner with Morningstar Ministries, how it's going to sweep. And you can see, if you look at people, when you put a whole bunch of people together, as a matter of fact, when you're in a stadium and you're watching a game like the Saints or something playing football.
You're not really watching. You're more like eating, conversing,
the hot
glancing
wings,
every now and again, but not really
watching. The beignets watching. Are good.
They're, yeah, they are. Yeah.
And Drew Brees is a good man. And so they do this wave thing where it looks like people jump up and they go down and all that stuff that you were doing, John, at the last game. And so and it looks like a wave. They call it the wave. It's like it's like the sea of humanity. It's like the sea of humanity. Mm. And so when you talk, you hear, you know, prophetically, and you watch the Word of God, when God talks about the human race, he talks about the sea of humanity. And now imagine you saw everybody on the streets of Baltimore, and we have no idea where this thing is going. They still haven't come out with what happened to Mr. Gray, who just got his burial and honored yesterday. Mm-hmm. That this is definitely the straw that broke Mr. Gray's back, straw that broke the camel's back.
And reports are that's intensifying. They have major plans. Those that want to do violence and destroy property, they have major plans to do more.
And we want to pray that doesn't happen. But based on what the Lord has shown us, it's going to escalate until whoever we are is going to surface. Mm. You know, the things that we didn't deal with, the things that sometimes we always think that if you control a matter, you'll solve a matter. What God does, he turns us over to things. And he says, you want that? I'll give it to you. It's coming until it's coming out your nose. Mm-hmm. And so in that, you know, we don't want to be turned over to this. We want to repent. And I was reading in scripture the other day when Paul was speaking to the church of Corinth. And he said very specifically, this is going to be a shocker to the American church. He said, your place is not to judge the world. Mm. You know, we're not supposed to go out to people who don't claim to be Christians, people who don't go to church, people who don't want anything to do with Jesus, who don't read the Bible. We're not supposed to be out telling them what to do. He says, there's no way that's not your call. He said, God's going to judge them. Mm. But he says, we're supposed to judge the church in regards to what we're doing ourselves and what's going on. Mm-hmm. And what you see in America, because there's this political sphere has merged with this, you know, church sphere. And one particular Baptist leader says, you know, for years now we've been, you know, selling people on America and just giving Jesus away.
Wow.
And of course, that's not what we're supposed to do. And it's time for us to be the church. It's time for us to actually be the church in response to what's going on right now. And and if this is going to happen on several cities, I mean, you're looking at martial law. Of course, at midnight, around midnight last night, you know, the National Guard came in. It took a while for them to come out. But from what I understand, the mayor has to request it first. And they're waiting for that request to be able to come in. But still, even though they came in, it was just like the movie Purge. I had seen the movie. I just read the article on it. But it says there that the police, the law, fire, and emergency does nothing. Well, if you would have saw them last night, they just stood. And I understand as when you're outnumbered, and this will help out too. If you're a police officer, you work under the mayor. You work at the mercy of the mayor. Unlike an elective sheriff, the deputies are deputized under that particular sheriff, and it's a little bit different. So whatever the mayor wants is what the officers will have to do, or they won't have a job. So if she wanted them to go forward and come into the, you know, it's almost like she was allowing room for destruction.
Well, that's what she said. I mean, she said she, She instructed them to give those who wish to destroy space so that they can do that.
Right. And you, and this is important, too, to realize that those officers, that's your neighbor. Mm. That could be your neighbor's father or mother. They're human beings. And that's what America will look like without law enforcement. They're very, very important. We have, you know, several programs that we did on this. But we want to be able to support our law enforcement. If there's bad apples, okay, you deal with the bad apples, but yeah. You don't throw the whole you know, orchard out of going on here. But if we keep allowing our officers to be pelted and stoned and these different things that are going on, they'll just leave, switch a job just like you would switch a job.
Now, I was watching last night, watching all the violence, you know, and you hear some remarks of people being dismissive of the violence. You had gangs that were uniting together to take police officers out.
Yeah.
My question is, when you take the police officers out, who's going to be left to run those city streets? What's
going to be like last night, allowing for destruction?
It's going to be gangs and everyone that wants to do evil. We need our police officers to stay in those positions of authority to protect us.
Right. And so, you know, what we're hearing prophetically is this is going to happen on a mass scale. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be something like you saw, you know, you're seeing in Baltimore. There's some other folks that have come into our country that are going to potentially stir things up and do things that are reportedly, according to what the Lord revealed to Rick Joyner, worse than what we're seeing with Al-Qaeda and ISIS and ISIL and all that, which is sort of the same thing. And you're not seeing anybody back off in regards to pushing Israel and forcing Israel to try to divide her land and all these things that are happening. Mm-hmm. So you know this parallels are taking place. So what I want to do, I want to pray for you. Now, if you sign up for our newsletters called The Torch, go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner. You can sign up for it. We have a free gift for you, and it's called Prudent Preparation. You need to prepare. I mean, you're not going to have somebody. I mean, look at what was happening last night. You know, one person potentially determined whether the people were going to have help or not. And the thing about it is you need to be set up for a good 90 days. We have all the details. It'll be a free gift for you when you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com, sign up for our newsletter, and it's called The Torch. Mm-hmm. Go to VFNTV.com, and it's called Prudent Preparation. Let me pray for you. Father God, Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for letting us know what's going on. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us such a blessing in this country, and we're beginning to see, Lord, as things are shifting, how blessed we have been. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you would be with those citizens of Baltimore, Lord God, that you would protect them, Lord God.
Yes,
Lord. These children that are being brought into this anarchy and rebellion, Lord, I pray that you would just, you know, deliver them from that. We thank you for these ministers who are standing up, Lord, the church that's handling things and doing a wonderful job, you know, in Baltimore, that you would encourage them, Lord God. And despite how this wrong reaction, Lord, help us, Lord, move to a place of justice, you know, in our society, Lord, that when you say all nations will be standing from every tribe and every tongue will be standing before you at the marriage supper of the Lamb, Lord God, help people understand, the church understand, that every life matters, every nation matters, every tongue matters. Lord, help us to begin to stand for all humanity in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Don't forget, you can catch us on at VFNTV.com on the app. You can search in your app store for V as in Victor, VFNTV, or you can, how else? I mean, so many different ways. We have podcast,
Torch.
The Torch is so cool because you can go and sign up. Go to, you can text, what's the number?
22828.
22828. Text VFNTV, that's V Victor, VFNTV to
22828.
And in a few moments, you'll be receiving the torch every single week. And so if you miss something on the radio, if you want to hear it again, or you think that's great, you go, man, I wish I could hear that again. Guess what? It will be sitting in your email on that Friday. So when you wake up Saturday morning, you're there Friday night, you're going to be able to go back and listen and share with other people,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you experienced. And you can participate in the great expectation of God by sharing the good news, by sharing God's perspective. You know, bring, you know, by sharing what we were attempting to do is give a light perspective of a God perspective, a biblical perspective, if you would, of what's happening in our life,
mm-hmm.
a reasonable conversation. And I got to tell you, you know, when I was in Destin and Donna were spending time there celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary in Sugar. It was so it was the sand was like sugar out there that I got a chance, you know, obviously listening to VFN. Radio and VFN radio is so encouraging. I mean, think about it. Whatever comes into your eyes, whatever comes into your ears makes you up. It's, you know, faith comes by hearing. And if you want to stir your faith and hear reality at the same time, hear a biblical perspective so it doesn't terrify you, but it will give you a biblical perspective and go, you know, hey, that's right. You know, like we just talked about in the first hour. The biblical perspective of our soldiers that are putting such a sacrifice out there is King David. And when you talk to your legislator, you can say, wait a minute, this is a principle that's been around. This is a Judeo-Christian country. This is what we should do. We should honor our soldiers. And you can go back and you can listen to it. We'll see, it gives you a biblical perspective when they start taking it. We're going to defund the VA we have a million vets that can't get into the system. It'll take us a couple, you know, then you can get a biblical perspective of the whole thing. So you hear the news, you know, that this is going on. But then you go, wait a minute. It's godly for me to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a godly thing for me to stand up for these soldiers. And that's what's called a biblical perspective. And over again, we're trying to do that. Okay, you have folks that are refusing to get out of bed and go to work. You have people that are complaining about their life being so miserable. Well, we have a biblical perspective of that we just shared. That you're going to have integrity, that got life, true peace is being able to press through and meet the demands of reality, which will require your flesh to be unhappy, but God will reward you for that, and you can have peace no matter where you are. You see, so we're able to deal with a reality that, hey, as long as your flesh is comfortable, you're going to be in bondage. But as long as your spiritual is comfortable, you're going to be free no matter where your flesh is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's your body is what I'm talking about. And so I just want to encourage you that you need that kind of balance. You don't bury your head in the sand of denial and say, I don't want to know what's going on because it's too big. God's people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. You got to be able to look at both. You got to be able to look at what is going on. Then you got to hear what God says, God's word says about it. And that's called a biblical perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know.
All right.
And you can get that on VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com or